The Tragedy of Hamlet, Prince of Denmark, by William Shakespeare. Act 3, Scene 3. A Room in the Castle. Enter King Claudius, Rosencrantz, and Guildenstern.
I like him not, nor stands it safe with us to let his madness range. Therefore prepare you. I your commission will forthwith dispatch, and he to England shall along with you. The terms of our estate may not endure hazards so dangerous as doth hourly grow out of his lunacies.
We will ourselves provide. Most holy and religious fear it is to keep those many, many bodies safe that live and feed upon your majesty.
The single and peculiar life is bound with all the strength and armour of the mind to keep itself from annoyance. But much more that spirit upon whose will depend and rest the lives of many. The seas of majesty dies not alone, but, like a gulf, doth draw what's near with it. It is a massy wheel fixed on the summit of the highest mount, to whose huge spokes 10,000 lesser things are mortised and adjoined, which, when it falls, each small annexment, petty consequence, attends the boisterous ruin. Never alone did the king sigh, but with a general groan.
Arm you, I pray you, to the speedy voyage, for we will fetters put upon this fear, which now goes too free-footed.
We will haste us.
Exeunt Rosencrantz and Guildenstern. Enter Polonius.
My lord, he's going to his mother's closet. Behind the arras I'll convey myself to hear the process. I'll warrant she'll tax him home. And, as you said, and wisely was it said, 'tis meet that some more audience than a mother, since nature makes them partial, should o'erhear the speech of vantage. Fare you well, my liege. I'll call upon you ere you go to bed, and tell you what I know.
Thanks, dear my lord.
Exit Polonius.
Oh, my offence is rank. It smells to heaven. It hath the primal eldest curse upon it, a brother's murder. Pray can I not? Though inclination be as sharp as will, my stronger guilt defeats my strong intent. And like a man to double business bound, I stand in pause where I shall first begin, and both neglect. What if this cursed hand were thicker than itself with brother's blood? Is there not rain enough in the sweet heavens to wash it white as snow? Whereto serves mercy but to confront the visage of offence? And what's in prayer but this twofold force to be forestalled ere we come to fall, or pardoned being down? Then I'll look up. My fault is past. But, oh, what form of prayer can serve my turn? Forgive me my foul murder. That cannot be, since I am still possessed of those effects for which I did the murder, my crown, mine own ambition, and my queen. May one be pardoned and retain the offence? In the corrupted currents of this world, offence's gilded hand may shove by justice, and oft 'tis seen the wicked prize itself buys out the law. But 'tis not so above. There is no shuffling. There the action lies in his true nature, and we ourselves compelled, even to the teeth and forehead of our faults, to give in evidence. What then? What rests? Try what repentance can. What can it not? Yet what can it when one cannot repent? O wretched state! O bosom black as death! O limed soul that, struggling to be free, art more engaged! Help, angels! Make us say, bow stubborn knees, and heart with strings of steel be soft as sinews of the new-born babe. All may be well.
Retires and kneels. Enter Hamlet.
Now might I do it, Pat. Now he is praying, and now I'll do't. And so he goes to heaven, and so am I revenged? That would be scanned. A villain kills my father, and for that I, his sole son, do this same villain sent to heaven? Oh, this is higher in salary, not revenge. He took my father grossly, full of bread, with all his crimes broad-blown, as flush as May. And how his audit stands, who knows save heaven? But in our circumstance and course of thought, 'tis heavy with him. And am I then revenged to take him in the purging of his soul?
The Tragedy of Hamlet, Prince of Denmark, by William Shakespeare. Act 3, Scene 4, The Queen's Closet. Enter Queen Gertrude and Polonius.
He will come straight. Look, you lay home to him, tell him his pranks have been too broad to bear with, and that your grace has screened and stood between much heat and him. I'll silence me even here. Pray you be round with him.
Within.
Mother! Mother! Mother!
I'll warrant you, fear me not. Withdraw, I hear him coming.
Polonius hides behind the arras. Enter Hamlet.
Now, mother, what's the matter?
Hamlet, thou hast thy father much offended.
Mother, you have my father much offended.
Come, come, you answer with an idle tongue.
Go, go, you question with a wicked tongue.
Why, how now, Hamlet?
What's the matter now?
Have you forgot me?
No, by the rood, not so. You are the queen, your husband's brother's wife, and would it were not so, you are my mother.
Nay, then I'll set those to you that can speak.
Come, come, and sit you down. You shall not budge. You go not till I set you up a glass where you may see the inmost part of you.
What wilt thou do? Thou wilt not murder me. Help! Help! Ho!
Behind.
What? Ho! Help! Help! Help!
Drawing.
How now? A rat? Dead for a ducat! Dead!
Makes a pass through the arras. Behind.
I am slain.
Falls and dies.
Oh, me! What hast thou done?
Nay, I know not. Is it the king?
Oh, what a rash and bloody deed is this!
A bloody deed! Almost as bad, good mother, as kill a king and marry with his brother!
As kill a king?
Aye, lady, 'twas my word.
Lifts up the arras and discovers Polonius.
Thou wretched, rash, intruding fool! Farewell. I took thee for thy better. Take thy fortune. Thou find'st to be too busy is some danger. Leave wringing of your hands. Peace. Sit you down and let me wring your heart, for so I shall, if it be made of penetrable stuff, if damned custom have not brassed it so that it is proof and bulwark against sense.
What have I done, that thou darest wag thy tongue in noise so rude against me?
Such an act that blurs the grace and blush of modesty, calls virtue hypocrite, takes the rose from the fair forehead of an innocent love, and sets a blister there, makes marriage vows as false as dither's oaths. Oh, such a deed! As from the body of contraction plucks the very soul, and sweet religion makes a rhapsody of words, heaven's face doth glow. Yea, this solidity and compound mass with tristral visage, as against the doom, is thought sick at the act.
Ah, me, what act, that roars so loud and thunders in the index?
Look here, upon this picture, and on this, the counterfeit presentment of two brothers. See what a grace was seated on this brow. Hyperion's curls, the front of Jove himself, an eye like Mars to threaten and command, a station like the herald Mercury, new lighted on a heaven-kissing hill, a combination and a form indeed, where every god did seem to set his seal, to give the world assurance of a man. This was your husband. Look you now, what follows. Here is your husband, like a mildewed ear, blasting his wholesome brother. Have you eyes? Could you on this fair mountain leave to feed and batten on this moor? Have you eyes? You cannot call it love, for at your age the heyday in the blood is tame. It's humble, and waits upon the judgment. And what judgment would step from this to this? Sense, sure, you have, else could you not have motion? But sure that sense is apoplexed. For madness would not err, nor sense to ecstasy was ne'er so thralled, but it reserved some quantity of choice to serve in such a difference. What devil was that cozened you at Hoodman blind?
eyes without feeling, feeling without sight, ears without hands or eyes, smelling sans all, or but a sickly part of one true sense, could not so mope. Oh, shame, where is thy blush? Pilius, hell, if thou canst mutine in a matron's bones, to flaming youth let virtue be as wax, and melt in her own fire. Proclaim no shame, when the compulsive ardour gives the charge, since frost itself as actively doth burn, and reason panders will.
Oh, Hamlet, speak no more. Thou turn'st mine eyes into my very soul, and there I see such black and grained spots as will not leave their taint.
Nay, but to live in the rank sweat of an enseamed bed, stewed in corruption, honeying and making love over the nasty sty.
Oh, speak to me no more. These words like daggers enter in mine ears. No more, sweet Hamlet.
A murderer and a villain. A slave that is not 20th part the tithe of your precedent lord. A vice of kings, a cutpurse of the empire and the rule, that from a shelf the precious diadem stole and put it in his pocket.
No more!
A king of shreds and patches!
Enter Ghost.
Save me, and hover o'er me with your wings, your heavenly guards. What would your graces figure?
Alas, he's mad.
Do not come, your tardy son, to chide that lapsed in time and passion. Let's go by the important acting of your dread commando, say.
Do not forget, this visitation is but to whet thy almost blunted purpose. But look, amazement on thy mother sits. Oh, step between her and her fighting soul. Conceit in weakest bodies strongest works. Speak to her, Hamlet.
How is't with you, lady?
Alas, how is't with you, that you do bend your eye on vacancy, and with the incorporeal air do hold discourse? For that your eyes, your spirits wildly peep, and, as the sleeping soldiers in the alarm, your bedded hairs, like life in excrement, start up and stand on end. O gentle sun, upon the heat and flame of thy distemper sprinkle cool patience. Whereon do you look?
On him, on him! Look you, how pale he glares! His form and cause conjoined, preaching to stones would make them capable. Do not look upon me! Lest with piteous action you convert my stern effects. Then what I have to do will want true colour, tears perchance for blood.
To whom do you speak this?
Do you see nothing there?
Nothing at all, yet all that is I see.
Nor did you nothing hear?
No, nothing but ourselves.
Oh, look you there! How it steals away my father in his habit as he lived. Look where he goes, even now, out at the portal.
Exit Ghost.
This is the very coinage of your brain. This bodiless creation ecstasy is very cunning in.
Ecstasy? My pulse, as yours, doth temperately keep time, and makes as healthful music. It is not madness that I have uttered. Bring me to the test, and I the matter will reword which madness would gamble from. Mother, for love of grace, lay not that mattering unction to your soul, that not your trespass but my madness speaks. It will but skin and film the ulcerous place, while rank corruption, mining all within, infects unseen. Confess yourself to heaven. Repent what's past, avoid what is to come, and do not spread the compost on the weeds to make them ranker. Forgive me this my virtue, for in the fatness of these pursy times, virtue itself of vice must pardon beg. Yea, curb and woo, for leave to do him good.
O Hamlet, thou hast cleft my heart in twain.
Oh, throw away the worser part of it, and live the purer with the other half. Good night, but go not to my uncle's bed. Assume a virtue, if you have it not. That monster custom, who all sense doth eat, of habit's devil is angel. Yet in this, that to the use of actions fair and good, he likewise gives a frock or livery that is aptly put on. Refrain tonight, and that shall lend a kind of easiness to the next abstinence, the next more easy, for use almost can change the stamp of nature, and either curb the devil or throw him out with wondrous potency. Once more, good night. And when you are desirous to be blessed, I blessing beg of you, for this same Lord,
pointing to Polonius,
I do repent. But heaven hath pleased it so to punish me with this and this with me, that I must be their scourge and minister. I will bestow him, and will answer well the death I gave him. So again, good night. I must be cruel, only to be kind. Thus bad begins, and worse remains behind. One word more, good lady.
What shall I do?
Not this, by no means that I bid you do. Let the bloat king tempt you again to bed, pince wanton on your cheek, call you his mouse, and let him for a pair of reachy kisses, or paddling in your neck with his damned fingers, make you to revel all this matter out, that I essentially am not in madness, but mad in craft. 'Twere good you let him know, for who, that's but a queen fair, sober, wise, would from a paddock, from a bat, a jib, such dear concernings hide? Who would do so? No. In despite of sense and secrecy, unpeg the basket on the house's top. Let the birds fly, and, like the famous ape, to try conclusions, in the basket creep and break your own neck down.
Be thou assured, if words be made of breath, and breath of life, I have no life to breathe what thou hast said to me.
I must to England. You know that.
Alack, I had forgot. 'Tis so concluded on.
There's letters sealed. And my two schoolfellows, whom I trust as I will adders fanged, they bear the mandate. They must sweep my way and marshal me to knavery. Let it work. For 'tis the sport to have the engineer hoist with his own petard. And shall go hard, but I will delve 1 yard below their minds and blow them at the moon. Oh, 'tis most sweet when in one line 2 crafts directly meet. This man shall set me packing. I'll lug the guts into the neighbor room. Mother, good night. Indeed, this counselor is now most still, most secret, and most grave. Who was in life a foolish, prating knave? Come, sir, to draw toward an end with you. Good night, mother.
Exeunt severally, Hamlet dragging in Polonius. End of Act 3.